Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-hosts, Ben Estalos and Harrison Wolf from Brown & Brown. We have a great lineup of guests for you in our show today. Ben, would you please give us the rundown?
Sure, Herb. Today we have Conrad Oki, the Chief Executive Officer of Novatech Automation. We have Bill Rourke, Managing Partner of Hamburg, Rubin, Mullen, Maxwell, and Lupin. Andy DeGrucci, owner of Limeworks US. And we have Dr. Jayton Mehta, the CEO of Metasense.
Let's get to know our first guest, Conrad Oki, Chief Executive Officer of Novatech Automation. Conrad, what is Novatech Automation? What are you guys doing?
So we're involved in keeping the lights on the power grid. We make boxes that measure power flow and gather up data in about a quarter of the substations in the U.S. and help engineers to manage the power grid.
Wow. Where are you from originally? How many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I was born in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I have one older brother.
Alrighty. And 8 to 14, what kind of stuff were you doing as a kid 8 to 14 years old?
Well, we lived on a sheep farm outside of Riegelsville, Pennsylvania. So I was taking care of animals and spending a lot of time kind of wandering around the woods by myself and, you know, building an imagination. Mm-hmm. I played tennis. I played some swimming. I was pretty bad at basketball, and I really liked baseball. I was a catcher.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Ben, give me a hand, please.
Conrad, what did your dad do? Did he start the business? Was this a family business?
Yeah, he was in the Treasury Department at Bethlehem Steel, looking at their pension liability and their divestment from any growing industry in the 80s and 90s. And he said, I need to do something else. So he bought a small company that had an analog power meter for mining operations in Bethlehem.
And what was your involvement? Were you involved early on with that?
I was 3 years old at the time the acquisition happened. But by the time I was five, I was making boxes on the production floor for 2 cents a piece.
And you've worked for this family business your whole life?
With a few exceptions after college. Yeah, I worked in advertising for a while and some work in film.
And so what did you learn growing up from your dad that you still implement in the business today?
What didn't I learn? I'd say he's probably he's a financial savant. He can look at sheets of numbers and understand what's going on more fluently than I can. I'm more of a technological thinker, but I think his integrity, his credibility, the fact that he didn't have to ask twice from most people because everybody respected him very much was always something I looked up to.
And you mentioned earlier in the green room to us that your dad moved you to Oregon later on. What was the situation there?
So, when Novatech, which at the time was called Vitronics, was finally making money after 10 years of not making money, he decided he would start again and bought a business in Bend, Oregon, which was at the time a town of 14,000 people. Now it's 110,000. And that company used synthesized pheromones to disrupt insect mating in crop fields, reducing the use of pesticides.
So your dad moved you across the country, went from one company to another company. There had to be a lot of flexibility there and give from your family. What did your mom do, and how did your mom influence all of this?
I mean, she's always been kind of supportive of the business. She was a clothing designer for Lehigh University's theater department, and she gave that up when we needed extra hands for accounting and accounts receivable in the office. So she's always been.
Was there any particular trait that you learned from your mom that you take to work with you today?
Creativity, empathy.
Creativity and empathy. So how do you implement creativity and empathy in your family business today?
I mean, in terms of setting a strategy for the business, I think we try to stay as blue sky as we can when we're trying to figure out where we're going to grow next before we apply the filters of, you know, skepticism and and reality checks. And also in the way we present ourselves to the world with our marketing and branding, I try to make sure we're as innovative and sharp as we can be.
Harrison?
Yeah, Conrad. So you mentioned you played a bunch of different sports when you were growing up, but the one that caught my attention was baseball. You said you were the catcher. As a catcher, what do you envision the role of a catcher on a baseball team being?
You get to run the defense. You get to tell people where the play is. You get to make sure that, you know, there's cohesion in what's going to happen on the field, and you get to, you know, be in the most critical, exciting moment when somebody's running for a score and you're getting the ball and you're the thing in the way. That's juice right there.
And so now, how does that kind of relate to what you're doing today in your current role?
Tell everybody what's going to happen and make sure they do it. That's kind of it.
You mentioned that you grew up on a sheep farm in Pennsylvania, then you moved to Oregon, and you spent, you know, you grew up in these ruralish kinds of environments, and that, you know, you had a lot of creativity. So how is this creativity showing itself up when you were 8 to 14 years old?
I was pretty famous for being able to do comic book drawing style drawings, and especially of like teachers and stuff like that. That was a source of notoriety.
So you were doing comic book drawings, and that was a way for you to express your creativity. And how's that showing up nowadays?
Oh, I mean, every time I'm starting an ad campaign, it starts as a sketch in my notebook until I hand it off to the, you know, designers and stuff. It's like,
So as the CEO, you're still the chief artist.
yeah, I'd say I'm the creative director. I'd say I'd sort of figure out what the tone should be and what our messages should be. You know, a product manager will say, we need to tell this segment this about this product because it differentiates us. And then you throw it over the wall to the creatives and say, well, how can I communicate that most effectively and memorably with the least amount of spend? I think that's the constraint.
So what's the best part of your job? What do you enjoy the most?
You know, right now it's educating and advocating for the transition to a fossil-free future through the power grid evolving into a more flexible, adaptable, multi-directional, multi-stakeholder model that
So you really,
emerges over the
this
coming
thing
decades.
about sustainability, it's part of who you are because it's the environment you grew up in. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I think you got to be serious about, if you're serious about the future and having a quality of life in that future for yourself and for your kids, you do have to pay attention to what's happening with our use of fossil fuels.
So this comes from hanging out with the sheep on the farm, and also from hanging out with the
Yes, the
fields in
wisdom of the
Oregon.
sheep's eyes as they stare at you. Yeah, no,
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all about nature. It's like, you know, you're really turned on by it, and this creative piece of you is allowing you to keep on evolving the business, not just the marketing of it. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, because of the technology. I mean, another parallel I'd say is that, you know, I studied biochemistry and sort of living systems in college, and the parallels between how a living system, a cell, works and how a city works. You know, you can always see parallels between the natural world and the built environment. And I think it's the thing about the built environment is we can change it. Ability.
Ben, what else are you thinking, Ben?
Conrad, leading a team of 165 teammates is not always easy. Are they mainly local folks, or do you have teammates that come from different parts of the country?
I mean, we have, I'd say 75% of the staff is either located in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where we do all of our in-house printed circuit board production and power measurement production there. We've always made our own circuit boards. And then Lenexa, Kansas is our other major manufacturing facility. But we have people in sales and R&D. We just established an office in Lima, Peru. We kind of get the talent where we can get the talent, and be location. COVID taught us we could be more locationless than we thought we could be.
Sure, understandable. And being on the floor and being involved in this business since, like you said, you were 3 years old, does that give you a different perspective on the employees that you're now leading?
Well, I'd say most of the employees that I'm now leading weren't around when I was 3 years old. There's a handful of people who recognize me from, you know, my earliest days in the facility, but mostly people recognize me now as the guy who's running the business. So.
Sure.
How about in terms of your understanding? You know, you came from the ground up. Nobody handed you the president's role initially, and so you understand what it's like to work in all the different roles in the company, don't you?
Well, I did some in manufacturing, a lot of putting things into machines and watching them get pressed together. I did a lot of that as a teenager. And I'd say the marketing and the websites and the communication piece was, I mean, I had made the first website because websites were a new thing. And that was in like 1999.
And what's the website address for this organization known as Novatech Automation?
So novatechautomation.com is the company website, and keepitcool.earth is the journey to decarbonization.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Conrad Oakley, Chief Executive Officer of Novatech Automation, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
This is Herb Cohen, your host at ExecutiveLeadersRadio.com. Regarding your career, if you're trying to figure out how to make the most money and also enjoy your career, that's enjoy your career, I mean really enjoy your career and make the most money, you ought to talk to our CEOs. They've got the bird's eye view of where the really profitable jobs are, where the really profitable jobs are going to be, and they're willing to speak with you regarding their vision for the future and where you may fit into it in order to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Email us, consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com to get help from our CEOs regarding where you may want to go in your career to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
Hey, Warren Eckstein here, host of The Pet Show on Radio America. For over 43 years on TV and radio, I've been helping people resolve any behavior issues they may be having with their dogs and cats, or more likely, any issues your pets may be having with you. If you really want to understand your dogs and cats as well as they understand you, never miss The Pet Show. From litter box issues to humping dogs, I cover it all. So hop on my couch with your pets and let the animal analyzing begin on The Pet Show, just like this listener.
Hi, I want to tell you that you gave me some of the best information I've ever gotten. It was about my dog barking. I have a Yorkie, and you said, go over and say, thank you, thank you. Now that's enough. And I did that, and I did it a couple of times, and it stopped her from barking.
You know, I am a genius, by the way.
It was amazing. I tell more people about it. They don't really work with it or get it. And it's absolutely a wonderful idea because it works.
Tune into The Pet Show with me, Warren Eckstein, weekly at Radio America.
The word never carries a lot of weight. Never forget, never settle, never surrender. And now Dodge is proud to announce Never Lift, the full throttle rally cry of stepping on the gas and never letting up. With the 475 horsepower Durango SRT 392 and the muscle car dynamic duo Dodge Charger and Challenger, and the introduction of Dodge Power Brokers, your official dealer for legendary Direct Connection performance parts. For more on the Never Lift mindset, go to Dodge.com. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This message comes to you from our sponsor, Subaru. Discover the all-new 2024 Subaru Crosstrek Wilderness. With exclusive technology and safety features, it's packed with upgrades to its off-road capability. Standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, 9.3 inches of ground clearance, 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine, and improved gearing to climb the toughest trails. See what's beyond the far boundaries of the map in a rugged Crosstrek Wilderness. Adventure on the edge.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. Let's get to know Bill Rourke, managing partner of Hamburg, Rubin, Mullen, Maxwell, and Lupin. Bill, what is Hamburg, Rubin, Mullen, Maxwell, and Lupin?
Sure. We are a full-service regional law firm based out of southeastern Pennsylvania. We help individuals and businesses solve whatever problems land on their lap.
And where are you from originally? How many brothers and sisters? And where are you in the pecking order?
I grew up on the Gulf Coast of Florida in a beach town called Siesta Key, and I have one older sister. She's 5 years older than I am.
And 8 to 14, what's that list look like of what you were doing as a kid, 8 to 14?
8 to 14, I was playing a lot of soccer. I was refereeing soccer games, and during the summer, I was working for my dad's solar pool heating company.
So what was your role in the soccer team? What was the personality trait that you brought to that role?
I played defense. Specifically, I was a stopper, which meant I was the front line of defense. I could be as aggressive as I wanted because I knew I had some help behind me.
Uh-huh. What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
When you play defense, you have to be adaptable. You have to move quickly. And if you take a wrong angle on an attack, you could lose that player. Mm-hmm. Likewise, in the practice of law and managing a firm, you've got to be adaptable. And you've got to make sure that the first steps that you take are in the right direction.
And you also mentioned you refereed. Why would you get involved with refereeing?
Well, if you want to play the game, you have to know the rules. And if you want to win the game, you have to master the rules. And I thought if I could make a little extra money refereeing soccer games at the same time, other people play and learn the rules.
So you really like to learn the rules so you can master the rules. And it sounds to me, so what's the connection between that and playing soccer? And playing soccer, refereeing, and what you're doing nowadays, managing this law firm?
Well, the practice of law is really nothing more than the application of rules to someone's problems. So being able to master a particular area of law helps us help our clients.
Gotcha. Ben, want to give me a hand, please?
Bill, did you have any influences growing up? Anybody that influenced you?
I did. My mom's brother, my uncle, was an attorney up in Vermont, and I was always envious of the way he conducted himself, the way he handled his profession, and how close he was to his family.
How did he handle himself? What were those traits that you were envious of?
He was always approachable. He was always compassionate, and he was always professional. His clients came to him as a counselor as much as an attorney, and he took that role very seriously.
And did you have a non-relative influence in your life?
I did. I had a teacher in school by the name of Tom Krause. He was a debate coach that I had during this age.
And what was it about this debate coach that made him attractive to you and influence your life?
TK, as we called him, was spectacular at making everyone feel comfortable and letting everyone find their own voice. When you're debating an issue and you're timid, you're going to have a hard time getting out of the starting blocks. TK was great at getting everyone to find their own voice, to become comfortable in their own skin, and be able to debate.
And so how does that, along with what your uncle taught you, play into and influence what you do today?
I think if you're going to lead a group, they need to feel heard. They need to believe that their voice is important, and you have to be able to listen to them so that they feel included in the process of any decision making.
Harrison?
Yeah, Bill. So how young were you when you started making money? I know you mentioned earlier you worked a job.
Yeah. Well, my first job was with my dad's solar pool heating company, digging trenches during the summer to lay PVC pipe in. And that was around 11 years old.
Okay, so 11, you were digging ditches, and I imagine Florida, that was probably pretty hot, right?
It certainly is. You learn very quickly that you want to get started early, because by about 12 o'clock, the day gets pretty warm.
Gotcha. So you mentioned wanting to start early and, you know, get the job done in a timely manner. What does that have to do with your role today as managing partner of your firm?
Sure. I still try to get into the office by 7 a.m. most days because you have to get started. You begin your day with the list of items that you intend to do. And usually by the time you get to number two or three, another five or six have been added to that list. So you get started early, you stay adaptable, and you just try to work through it.
Gotcha. So that's dad. So where was mom in all of this? Obviously your dad at the company, where was mom?
My mom was an elementary school teacher when I was growing up. She taught first graders at a local school. And then as I got a little bit older, mom went back to school, got her PhD, and became a college professor teaching other students how to be teachers.
Bill, all this family influence, how does this benefit your clients?
In order to solve a client's problems, you really have to understand the problem. And if you try to build a wall between you and the client and keep it as a barrier. You'll never be able to pin down exactly what your clients need, whether it be an individual or a business. So being able to relate to the people that are behind the business or the individuals that are coming to you as a client is essential.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you're doing something aside from running a law firm nowadays at Villanova Law School. What are you doing there, and why are you doing that?
Sure. I serve as an adjunct professor at Villanova University's School of Law. I've always enjoyed, probably because of mom, the education world. Doing this gives me an opportunity to connect with another group of professionals, helps me teach them a particular area of law, helps me communicate with them. And first and foremost, it requires me to stay up to date on a particular area of law so that I'm in the best position to help my clients when I come back from teaching.
So you put a lot of heat on yourself. You do you're a pretty driven kind of guy, and you're very careful and try and make sure you're always doing the best for everybody around you. Where's that coming from?
Well, being busy is always better than being bored. I think growing up, seeing dad run his own business, seeing mom teach, having the influence that I did from my uncle and TK, it taught me that, you know, being idle isn't going to do anyone any good. So get out there and find something to do that can help someone.
So what's the best part of your job? What's the best part of your gig?
I had a mentor when I first started that taught me, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And I'm happy to say that I love what I do. I love being the managing partner at this firm. I love the group of people I work with. I love teaching. I think first and foremost, what I love, though, is being able to connect with the clients, being able to make an impactful or play an impactful role in their life and have them leave a better position than they.
Do you have any kids?
I do. I have two daughters, a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old.
What's the similarity between being a dad and being a managing partner of a law firm?
More similar than one might think. You're hearing problems, you're solving problems, you're trying to make everyone happy. And at the end of the day, you're trying to make the best decisions for a group. So as I approach the issues that come to me as managing partner, you know, they're very similar to some of the issues that, you know, your children will bring to you. Different set of facts, but a similar dynamic.
Which one's more difficult, being a dad or being a managing partner of a law firm?
I'll plead the fifth.
And I got another question. At home, who's the managing partner?
I'm smart enough to know that that is my lovely wife, Meredith. She runs the ship. She's the brains of the operation.
So you're comfortable trusting. It sounds like you come from, you really enjoy relationships with your clients. You know, it sounds like with your team, it's really a matter of relationships with you. It just so happens you're practicing law is what it feels like. Am I mistaken about that?
No, you hit the nail on the head. But for me, I don't think that they're mutually exclusive. I think the practice of law is built upon strong relationships with your coworkers, with your staff, and with your clients. If your clients don't trust you, they're not going to employ you to help them solve a problem. So those relationships are absolutely essential.
I guess that's why they keep coming back after one transaction after another, is because they do trust you. What's the website address for this organization known as Hamburg, Rubin, Mullen, Maxwell, and Lupin?
We keep it simple. It's just the acronym HRMML.com.
Let me have that one more time.
HRMML.com.
We've been speaking with Bill Rourke, managing partner of Hamburg, Rubin, Mullen, Maxwell, and Lupin here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment, right after this break.
Hello, this is Steve Kuecker, president of Senior Care Consulting. I'm so excited to announce that we are expanding nationwide by awarding Senior Care Consulting franchises. We help our clients find the right senior care community, including assisted living, memory care, long-term care, and continuing care retirement communities. We are not another run-of-the-mill free referral service. We're very different. We offer a placement service with integrity. Owning a Senior Care Consulting franchise offers many benefits. Our market is not affected by the economy. Operate from your home office and enjoy work-life balance. Pour your passion into a business you can be proud of. For more information about owning a Senior Care Consulting franchise, call 833-722-3726. 833-722-3726 or visit seniorcareconsulting.com.
Too often, we don't know what we don't know. Hi, this is Bill Martinez, man of God, nationally syndicated radio host, former Marine, and award-winning marketing professional. It reminds me of when, as a new Marine Corps recruit, 87 of us were picked up at a Greyhound bus station in San Diego to be taken to the Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego, California. Some of the new recruits were acting up and a bit animated as if we were headed to an amusement park, and I noticed two Marine escorts in front of the bus looking back at the chaos, shaking their heads with a slight smirk, and it was then that I wondered, okay, what do they know that we don't know? Well, 20 minutes later, we found out what they knew as we were greeted by several drill instructors yelling at us in all kinds of language, get off the bus, get on the bus, get back on the bus, get off the bus, and then stand in the yellow footprints. Well, today, as we're confronted with the unknown, we can have some encouragement to know that eventually we will know, and it's then that our character is refined and we realize that knowledge is power and must precede the right action.
For more information about the Bill Martinez Show, go to BillMartinezShow.com.
How would you like to come home to a bartender who will fix you any cocktail you want?
I'll have an old fashioned.
I'll have a margarita.
Now you can. With the Bartesian Home Cocktail Maker. Bartesian is a sleek machine the size of a coffee maker that makes premium cocktails at the touch of a button. Choose from over 50 different cocktails, from classics to the most exotic premium cocktails served in the best bars today. You'll always get freshly mixed, perfectly balanced cocktails with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. And now get Bartesian's best Black Friday deal ever at Bartesian.com/radio. Entertaining? The Bartesian is ideal for parties. No need to stock all kinds of individual mixers for complicated recipes. Every guest gets the cocktail of their choice in seconds. The Bartesian makes a wonderful gift for anyone who loves a fine premium cocktail. Now get Bartesian's best Black Friday deal ever. It's available right now, only at Bartesian.com/radio. That's BARTESIAN.com/radio for Bartesian's best deal ever. Only at Bartesian.com/radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Andy DeGruchy, owner of Limeworks US. What is Limeworks US, Andy? What are you guys doing?
Limeworks US supplies historic lime mortar replication, including plaster, whitewash, mineral coatings, things that are needed for vintage masonry structure restoration.
All righty. Where are you from originally? How many brothers and sisters? And where are you in the pecking order?
Born in Philadelphia, raised in Plymouth Meeting, and 38 years now in Quakertown, PA. Mm-hmm. I have an older sister and a younger brother, and I'm the middle child.
Middle of three, huh? All right, 8 to 14. What kind of stuff were you doing as a kid, 8 to 14?
I was always interested in entrepreneurial things, business. I had a paper route. I ran a candy store that I started, made a stand, and had it at the swimming pool at the apartment complex where I lived.
Mm-hmm. This candy store, and you had a popcorn store as well. So you were really you were entrepreneurial as a young age. Ben, you want to give me a hand with getting to know Andy?
Yeah, sure. Andy, at that young age, I'm curious. When you were in school, what was your favorite subject?
I did like history, but I would say that was especially because of the teacher who made history exciting.
And what was it about the teacher that made history exciting?
I think he just loved it. I caught the fire from him of his own love for the subject.
So it was the enthusiasm, and that just stuck with you. And what does that have to do with what you're doing today?
Well, it ties in actually to the trade school that I went to, that I think in every case, you have to catch the fire from a mentor. And so what I do today is supplying materials for historic masonry structures. And I am a Mason for 41 years, having graduated from the Williamson College of the Trades and Media, Pennsylvania. I am influenced by those mentors that were enthusiastic about what they did. And that influenced the quality of what I do now.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that you are a very passionate person?
Definitely.
And Andy, you talked to us a little bit in the green room about your passion for the arts and music. Tell me, you learned to play the guitar. How did you do that?
Well, you know, when I was 16, I realized the chicks dig guys that play the acoustic guitar. So I went to Stewart's Music in Lansdale, bought a $40 Fender acoustic, came back, got a book on chords. But then really, I put the needle on the record and I used to lift it off and listen very intently to each note until I found those notes. And I say, did Jim Croce help me to learn to play the guitar? And in fact, tonight I'm going with my brother to Reading, Pennsylvania, to listen to AJ Croce. That's his son, Adrian, who was from the Villanova, you know, and area where Jim was.
That's great. And so, Andy,
we're going to listen to him play his father's songs.
Ben,
And then that's great. And so, you taught yourself to play the guitar. How does that type of passion and dedication play into you leading this company today?
Well, I do think that just an intense interest in art. I found that the camaraderie I have with other tradespeople is often they have a musical inclination. And so I don't know what it is in the arts, but that just gave me an immediate rapport with
Harrison?
Other tradespeople.
Yeah, Andy, so I, as Herb touched on, you're very entrepreneurial at a young age, and you said you mentioned that you started a candy store at the apartment complex pool. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Gotcha. So what? How did you determine what types of candy to sell? What were like your best sellers there?
Well, I knew what I liked, and I knew what kids liked, and I bought and, you know, and kept on culling out what things weren't selling and just, you know, use the old buy for a dollar, sell for two kind of concept, and I just enjoy doing that type of thing.
Now, how does that kind of translate to what you're doing a day with LimeWorks US?
Well, although there's an artsy side of me, and, you know, we're all fearful of being a starving artist and not charging the right amount of money. It's a problem a lot of tradespeople have. But there is a part of my mind that tends to watch the numbers and the books and make sure that I'm buying for a dollar and selling for two.
Mm-hmm. So you learned about money, you learned about margin, you learned things managing that candy shop. What else did you learn as a kid with the candy? You also mentioned you were involved with a popcorn store. What was the popcorn store story?
Well, the popcorn store was a caramel corn store in the Plymouth Meeting Mall. We were underaged. We couldn't get a job. But we approached the owner. He allowed us. He filled us up with all the popcorn we wanted. And we just walked around the mall just sort of hawking and yelling, you know, calling out that we had this most delicious popcorn. And he would just pay us in popcorn. And that was as good as money for us when you're 13 years old.
So you learned about sales, didn't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. He taught us how to make things smell fresh and how the wafting of the aroma of the popcorn going through the mall was one of their biggest advantages to helping to sell more popcorn.
Uh huh. Ben, what else you thinking?
Andy, what were the influences of your mom and your dad at the time? What have you taken away from what your mother that's taught you?
Well, my mom was a, you know, caregiver, the nurturer in the family, but she was also industrious. She was a seamstress. She would fix ladies' dresses. The other thing, she was in the welcome wagon and an international club. My mom is from France. She used to have throw gala parties. And everybody who seems to be from France knows how to cook. And she would love to just be hospitable and have parties. And that carries over to how I am today as well. I like to.
So it sounds like she was pretty busy. What about your dad? What influence have you taken from your dad?
So dad was a self-taught engineer, basically would design the factory floor space, how much is required, what equipment from Germany, whatever is needed. So you could push a button and whatever component you wanted him to help to you to automate and develop.
Would you say your dad was very process oriented?
He was very, very process oriented. And I think I learned that kind of systematic thinking to
get. And is that necessary? Is that necessary in your business when you're working with contractors restoring historic buildings?
Well, I think any business at the very heart, very root of it, you have to be disciplined and systematic and have a goal in mind, or else you're not going to reach any goal.
Mm-hmm. Andy, so the you went to a trade school, you lived there, What were the circumstances surrounding that, and what's all that have to do with who you are nowadays?
Well, I lived at the trade school, the Williamson College of the Trades in Media, and every student that's gone there since 1888, including to this day and myself, lives there for free. It's a 3-year scholarship. Isaiah Williamson founded it after modeling it after the Stephen Girard's Girard School. It was originally for orphans. I'm not an orphan, but mom and dad did split up, you know, so this caused me us to be in a needy situation.
And
so,
how young were you when mom and dad split?
11.
Uh-huh. What do you think that did to you?
Oh, well, that definitely caused me to be a big challenge to mom, you know, and it caused me to, I think a lot of sons want to please their father and show them, hey, I'm going to make it in business. Like, business was big in his mind. So it was something in my mind. I think I, you know, probably trying to please him. Hate to get into the psychoanalyst nature of this interview, but I think that a lot of us do try to fill the gap where we thought our parents thought was important. We do the same things.
So you're trying to, you know, please dad, and you become successful in business. And with mom, give me that piece again.
So she was very hospitable. She was industrious with her hands.
Did you look to support her when mom and dad split up? Did you try to get involved with helping mom out?
No, I was just a rebellious, kid.
It sounds like you're a hardworking kind of guy, and you're also, you know, you were able to teach yourself guitar, and you worked hard at Williamson College of Trade. Sounds to me like, you know, you're pretty self-made.
Well, I guess. I mean, I feel that we have some natural gifts and abilities that are given to us, and it's what you do with them. And a lot of circumstances, environmental, you know, as far as what opportunities you have to develop your skills.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what's the website address of this organization known as Limeworks US?
Well, for Limeworks US, it is exactly that, limeworks.us. For my masonry work, it's at repointing.com.
Alrighty, we've been speaking with Andy DeGruchy, owner of Limeworks US, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
This is Herb Cohen, your Executive Leaders Radio host. And the CEOs we've interviewed on this show are interested in helping you get your business started and helping you grow your business, whether you're aware of the issues or whether you want the CEOs to give you a hand identifying the issues in getting your business started and or in growing your business. Why don't you email us at consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com. Whether you're interested in having our CEOs speak with you regarding getting your business started or growing your business, send us an email at consult@executiveleadersradio.com, and we'll be sure to get back to you shortly with some help.
I'm Richard Gerhart, founder of Gerhart Law. We specialize in patents, trademarks, and copyrights. You can find out more at learnmoreabouttrademarks.com. We love working with entrepreneurs and helping their businesses grow. And here is our client, Ricky, to tell it like it is.
Hi, I'm Ricky Frango, founder and CEO of Prime 6. We manufacture high-performing, clean, and sustainable fuels like charcoal and logs. We've been working with Gerhart Law since the beginning, really, and they've helped us figure out the trademarks, the patents, everything that has to do with product development and how to protect our inventions. And we're extremely grateful for the wonderful team that has been supporting our business since day one.
Thank you, Ricky. To learn more about trademarks, go to learnmoreabouttrademarks.com and download our free Entrepreneur's Guide to Trademarks, or book a free consultation with me to discuss your patent and trademark needs. That's learnmoreabouttrademarks.com for your free booklet about trademarks and a free consultation.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as $1 a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-542-9830. 800-542-9830. 800-542-9830. That's 800-542-9830.
Attention business owners, 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are three things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the Clutter Factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the Death of the Salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. It's worked for 250,000 businesses worldwide. It'll work for you. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
We're back. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to get to know Dr. Jaden Mehta, who's the CEO of MetaSense. Dr. Mehta, what is MetaSense? What are you guys doing?
MetaSense is in a healthcare and IT staffing. We're based out of South Jersey.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about where you're from, how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I'm from Mumbai, India, and I'm the youngest of the four siblings.
All righty. And 8 to 14, what kind of stuff were you doing as a kid?
8 to 14, I was focusing on basically doing my education, and my hobby was like writing poems.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that as a kid, there wasn't a lot of money in the family, that you had to constantly think about how to making ends meet. What was that all about? Tell us more about that.
When my father moved from village to Bombay or Mumbai, he was making like a quarter every month in the US dollar right now. Mm-hmm. And my mother used to use the and newspapers and sell it every month and buy one utensils for our joint family. Mm-hmm. So always there is a challenge of meeting the ends. So my job was not to go with the expenses and trying to make our meet ends at that point of time.
Mm-hmm. Ben, you want to keep going with me?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Mehta, so you grew up watching your parents work really hard for a little bit amount of money, and now you are placing people in jobs. Tell me a little bit about how that transition happened and what drove you to get to where you are now.
I moved to the United States when I was 28, 29, and when I came with like $500, and that impacted my growth, impacted me to be as frugal as possible. And trying to see that when I'm trying to provide a job to any individual, I'm not providing only job, I'm providing the family of four food on the table.
Do you think that perspective is a direct result of how you grew up watching your parents?
Absolutely.
So what you learned there, and your parents provided you an opportunity to study, you and your brothers and sisters to study, and move forward with your education. What was your goal from an education standpoint as a child?
Because my parents were uneducated, my job was and my only focus was to get the as high as possible, get the education what I can get.
and you achieved a PhD. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I got my PhD from Indian Institute of Technology in Mumbai, and all my education was generated, money was generated from grants.
Mm-hmm. So you worked pretty hard to get that. And when you started this company, what influence did that have on the beginning of MetaSense?
Because of my frugality, I was able to save a little money by money. And I thought that by having the business, by providing the opportunity to individual, that will give a lot of satisfaction to me, because it's very hard to meet ends for not me, but so many individuals throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. Harrison?
Yeah, Gene. So you mentioned that you came to the U.S. with just about $500 in your pocket. What did you learn from that experience?
It was very tough, and the country with is a lot of opportunity, meeting the ends with the $500 is very, very difficult. So you have to work hard. You have to start from scratch. You have to build your reputation. You have to build your learning. And once you build upon that, you'll be able to flourish, and it's a land of opportunity. And that proves my point here.
And so when you're talking about building your reputation, putting yourself out there, what does that have to do today with your business and the seat that you sit in?
Yeah, when we go out with the people and talking to our clients and our potential employees, we not only provide the job, but we provide with the empathy. We bend our backwards, because I've gone through the journey of pain. So I wanted to avoid as little pain that they can go through.
Mm-hmm. Jayden, do you think you're ever going to retire?
That's not in my nature.
What do you mean it's not in your nature? What do you mean?
My nature is to help people, and I continue to help and everywhere in our society, in local communities. So retiring is not an option for me.
Uh-huh. And how do you give back? How are you involved in giving back?
I'm associated with a number of foundations here. I also started a few foundations, and I also help out to the local Indian temples over here.
Mm-hmm. And why do you do that stuff?
The temple teaches me the three different fundamental of my business and my life. That is called unity, harmony, and oneness. And mm-hmm. You can build anything and anyway, and you can build the right community, and you can avoid many problems in individual, personal, and community level, or in my business also, with three basic fundamental principles.
Is there a spiritual aspect to your building the business?
Yes, please.
Like, tell us a little bit. I thought business was all about blood and guts and numbers, but it sounds to me like you operate yours differently. Tell us about that.
Yes, my business works. We put the God in front of everything. I teach people how to be having empathy in their life and when dealing with human being. So the unity is the foremost important. Harmony is another important, and oneness. These are the three pillars which we work on. And in order to get the outcome, it's a three different thing: happiness, healthiness, and wealthiness. One can achieve all these three if you believe the three fundamental pillars we implement, not in our individual life, not only in personal life, but also in our business life.
Have you always been a deep thinker like this, or is this something that happened since you landed in the U.S.?
This happened after I landed in the U.S.
What do you mean? Tell us more.
Yeah, I got introduced to one of the faith here, Hindu faith, that called BAPS, and that made me, that transformed me completely, 360 degree, if you can say that.
Tell us more. What do you mean?
When I attached to this, before introducing to faith, I used to try to find out the different faith. I practiced different Hinduism, Jainism, Muslim, Christianity, and I couldn't find the real answer to the life. And when I introduced to them, I found the purpose of life. And that purpose of life changed me, the way I do my business now.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like you've done a lot of self-exploration, and you have a better sense of who you are and where you fit. How's that affecting your building this business, and what's the benefit to your clients?
Absolutely, because my clients get benefited because everyone is looking for dollar and cents, profit and balance sheets all the time. Where we look at the humanity at first, and we try to look at when the people who are trying to employ them, We are not employing a body. We are employing a human being, and we are trying to make sure that their needs are fulfilled. It's not always a purpose is about the profit for us. And that helped us to grow. We've grown almost like 210% in the last 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the benefit of owning your own business is you get to go in late, like 10 or 11 o'clock, and leave at 3 or 4 o'clock, and you don't have to work weekends, right?
No, that's not true with me. I come first in the office and leave last in the office. And my weekends always goes into my temple.
Mm-hmm. So you're pretty committed. You're pretty passionate. You're pretty committed not only to your work, but also to your spiritual growth, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And what's the best part of your job?
My best part of job is to help people.
Mm-hmm. What did you learn? What do you appreciate coming from India to the United States that I may not appreciate?
When I came to the United States, it was all about the country as a land of opportunity and it's capitalistic, all the mean. But I don't think that country is a capitalistic in a way. You have to find your own pocket of happiness. You have to find your pockets of success. It's a place where you can think about yourself and find where you fit best for your happiness.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do to enjoy yourself?
I go to my temple.
Mm-hmm. If I was doing a good interview, what part of you am I missing?
You're not missing anything.
Mm-hmm. So this education was pretty important to you. The way you learned how to run a business, it sounded to me like you were working full time and then you were also taking an online degree.
Yes, I did my, after coming to the United States, I found that I'm missing the US business techniques, tricks and trades. So I did my part-time degree in MBA from University of Massachusetts.
Gotcha as well. What's the website address for this organization that is MetaSense?
It is Meta, MetaSense, like common sense, USA.com, mm-hmm. MetaSenseUSA.com.
We've been speaking with Dr. Jaden Mehta, CEO of MetaSense here on Executive Leaders Radio. Ben, can you give us a rundown of who else we've had on the show, please?
Sure, Herb. It was a great show today. We started out with Conrad Oki, the Chief Executive Officer of Novatech Automation. Bill Rourke, the Managing Partner of Hamburg, Rubin, Mullen, Maxwell, and Lupin. We had Andy DeGrucci, the owner of Limeworks US. And we just finished up with Dr. Jaden Mehta, the CEO of MetaSense.
I'd like to thank my co-hosts, including Ben Estalos and Harrison Wolf, from the Employee Benefits, Property and Casualty National Firm of Brown & Brown, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. That's executive.
60 seconds of service.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. T-Mobile offers exclusive discounts for veteran and military families and are proud supporters of the National Defense Network. Visit T-Mobile.com to learn more about how they support our military community. Third-year physics doctoral student Crystal Kim enlisted in the Marine Corps when she was 19 years old and spent 5 years as an embassy security guard before returning to school. She recounted feeling different from her peers and wanting to create a community for those people. She now is president of the organization Student Veterans of America to find people like herself. SVA provides a community for student veterans to find support, advice, and friendship from other people of military backgrounds. We're not scary. A lot of people like to see veterans as mean, ruthless, unpredictable, disturbed types of people, but we're just here to study, get our degree, and get into the real world, Kim said. We're classed as non-traditional students, so SVA is really just a safe space to get together.